Let me ask you, if you had to describe your faith, what would it look like? Wow. I know, that's a toughie. Better yet, ask yourself the question, how would someone else describe your faith? And would it be the same? would it be the same? Would you know, if you had to describe your faith, where are you at? Better yet, where would somebody else say your faith is at? How would they describe it? You know, would somebody say that you have the kind of faith that is out of the box? Boy, that's new here, huh? For me to say be out of the box. Is your faith out of the box? Is your faith extreme? Is your faith is expectant? Or really, if truth be told, would somebody have to say, well, your faith is a little bit shaky. Your faith would be probably overtaken a little bit by times of doubt. Really, truth of the matter is, maybe they'd have to say your faith is a little unstable. This morning we want to look at faith. I want to look at the unnamed centurion in Luke chapter 7 and his amazing faith. You know, one that dared to get out of the box. One that dared to go beyond normal. See, here's the thing. You see mega churches and they do great things, and I'm not talking against any mega churches or anything like that. But God wants to work with all of His people. He wants to work in all the churches. He wants to work in every area of our life. He wants to minister. And God's going to be able to do amazing things when we, first of all, look at Him as amazing. And as we stretch out our faith that goes far beyond what we can do in ourselves. As long as we're talking about faith this morning, when's the last time you saw God do a miracle? When's the last time that you saw God do a miracle? Whether it be in your life or someone else's life. Or do you this morning just sit here and you think that, well, the miracles only happen to the people that are in the Bible? Or are you here, that miracles only happen for somebody else. God doesn't want to do anything really in my life. I want you to be encouraged this morning. God wants to do something amazing in your life. God's still in the miracle business. God still can change circumstances. And God still desires to do all of that. The definition, I think, of faith is believing what God has said in His Word. You grab onto this, you take God at His Word, you trust in His promises, and you desire to do the will of God in your life. That's faith. So your faith stretched out is the more that you can believe God and take Him at His promises, the more you're wanting to do the will of God. Faith believes when our senses don't see it. Did you get that? Some people's faith is just what they can see, what they can muster up, what they can do in their talents. But God says, what? If you want to really see amazing faith, if you really want to see me do some amazing things, then you can't go by your senses. Because you're man. I created you. I know how far your abilities and talents will take you. And you got to go past that. You got to go past what you can sense all the way to the impossible. And then I'm going to do some things. Faith is believing when you can't see it. When you can't see it, you can't figure it out, and you don't know how God's going to do it, but yet you stand in faith, believing that God cares and wants to do these amazing things in your life. There's an illustration. There's this train that's going down the tracks. It's bad weather, and lightning is striking all over the place, and these people are looking out these windows, and they see the lightning off in the distance. It gets to the point where they're fearing that here comes this metal box going down the road, and that lightning's going to strike it, and they're getting anxious, and they begin to see the lightning strike to the point where light lights up the outside, and they see that water is building up on the tracks. Just gives them all the more fear that what's going to happen. They're going to crash. They're going to get struck by lightning. And they notice there's a little girl. She's sitting in this car, and she's not fearful at all. And they're wondering, what's going on? How can this little girl be sitting there so calm when lightning's striking and the winds are blowing this train all over the place? And one person musters up enough strength to say, little girl, why are you so calm in the midst of all this storm? And she just looks up in a little kid's attitude, smiling. She says, my father is the engineer. And you know what this morning? That's what we have to get to. We have to trust God that God is the engineer of our lives. And no matter where the storm is going in our lives, no matter how bad your train may be rocking this morning, God is the engineer of your life if you allowed Him to be there. And if you put Him in there. And then there's really peace. Can I say that this morning? There's really peace in knowing that God's the engineer of your life. And that God's going to take care and He's going to bring you through these storms. And really, faith is taking the promises of God and applying them to your lives. See, a lot of people, I come across people every day that can quote scriptures, most of the time out of context. And most of the time it fits their needs, whether they're trying to do something outside of the Word of God or not. They're bringing in a scripture, but they take it out of context. But here's the thing with the promises of God. You've got to apply them to your life. Knowing them is great. Applying them and grabbing them and taking ownership of them is where your life's going to be changed. Where your life is going to make a difference. It's different because you're grabbing on and you're saying, you know what? God did things for others. And that's what happens. That's why I asked the question this morning. You know, how many believe in miracles or do you think it's just for somebody else? Because it's real easy. It's real easy to think God wants to do a miracle for someone else. But it's harder to come back and think that God really cares enough that He wants to do something in your life. And faith is grabbing on and saying, you know what? God did it for others. And the Bible tells us that God is not a respecter of persons. So He could and will and wants to do something tremendous in my life. And it's not because of anything that I am. It's because I'm a child of God and God cares what's going on in our lives. I say all of that. We ain't even to the Scripture yet. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 1, reading down to verse 10. When Jesus has finished saying all this, in the hearing of the people, He entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to Him, asking Him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with Him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with him. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, He was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following Him, He said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning, and we ask that we would apply it to our lives, apply it to our hearts, apply it to our not only hearing it, but being active, Lord. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Lord God, that we would go the next level and apply it to our lives and work it out in our lives, Lord God. We give You honor and we give You praise, thanking You in advance for what You're going to do. I know this message is for some or a number of someones this morning, that they need to grab this verse. They need to grab Your Word. And they need to grab Your anointing and faith this morning to take them to the next level. I pray for the one that needs to be encouraged. Grab onto this morning, Lord, and apply it to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me set this up for you, as if I haven't spit all over the front row and haven't done it enough yet. Let me set this up for you. That we read from this verse that the centurion is a Gentile. And if you remember, anyone that was not a Jew was considered a Gentile. This Gentile had authority. The Bible tells us that he had at least 100 soldiers under him, and that would be under his charge, and he'd say, go, and they go. He says, come. They would come, and would do as he say. The Bible also talks about that there is a slave that this centurion had. Slaves during that period of time were considered possessions. And in fact, if a slave got old or was terminally ill, they literally would throw them out of the house to die. There was no loyalty. There was no taking care of those that were in need. A slave was considered a possession, and when they were done with them, they were done with them. And it would be really not the norm for this centurion to look at this slave and have put so much value on him that he would want to see him healed, would go out of his way to send people to Jesus to try to work this out. This unnamed centurion had this unique relationship with the servant and placed him up high. We hear about Jesus, and we see that Jesus is doing healings. If you look, there's a number of things going on in this verse and chapter 6. The centurion hears about Jesus' healing. He calls his people together and says, hey, go get Jesus and see if he could touch and heal this servant of mine. The Jewish elders come to Jesus. I love this. They come with all kinds of reasons. You get this? They come with all kinds of reasons of why Jesus should do this. This guy loves the nation of Israel. This guy has built the synagogue. Don't you love that? Can you imagine? The Jews are acknowledging that a Gentile is building the synagogue. That's unusual in itself. So it tells you a lot about this centurion that loved the Jews. It wasn't about just being a soldier. He actually cared about what was going on. He invested in these people. They're coming back to Jesus and telling him all this. Well, you just need to come with us, Jesus, because this man that's my boss that sent you, he's a great guy. He loves the nation and he wants to, he builds a synagogue. And you just need to come. And Jesus begins to go. And he begins to head over to talk to him. And he gets a ways away from the house. And again, here the servant, the centurion sends more of his people out and says, Jesus, don't trouble yourself. Just say the word. Now that's faith. That really is. That's faith. Don't trouble yourself, Jesus. That if you would just say the word. But I want you to know something that unless you read a commentary, unless you really dig into these scriptures, this centurion understood Jewish culture. Because he understood that Jesus being a Jew really wouldn't be stepping into a Gentile's house, that the two shall not meet. And the servant's saying, look, I acknowledge who you are. I know who you are. And if you would just say the word, my servant's going to be healed. And you don't have to deal with all them other Jewish people that are going to be going, why did you step into a Gentile's house, Jesus? Why, well, all of the things there. He understood this. And verse 9 says this, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Now, unless you really get a perspective and a scope of all of these things going on here, there's two times in Scripture that Jesus is amazed. There's two times. One, he's amazed, according to the Scriptures, at the lack of faith of Israel and all the times that they fell away from God and God had to chastise them and bring them back. And then the other side is right here in this verse and is where, Jesus is amazed at this centurion's faith. And the question for you this morning I want to ask is, which faith do you have? Which faith are you? Do you have that lack of faith? Or do you have this amazing faith that this centurion had? If you look at this chapter, and in the first verse there, he talks about this. He says, when Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, then he entered in the town. Hearing what? Chapter 6 is talking about Jesus is already out there. He's gathering up His disciples. He's already ministering to people. He's already beginning to do His ministry. He tells them to love their neighbors. They love that. You know, that went over real big. Love your neighbors. And I'm going to tell you how to love your neighbors. Then they went through all the thing about who's your neighbor, and you know. It's like, who's your daddy? Kind of crazy stuff going on and on and on. But He begins to talk to them, and He tells them to love their enemies. He tells them to stop judging. You know, hey, take the plank out of your own eye so that you, in case you want to be an inspector, that you realize that you got to get the plank out of your eye first. He tells them that believers should bear fruit, all believers, not just some, not just the leaders, not just those that go to church on a regular basis, but all those that call on the name of Christ should bear fruit. And in fact, he goes and says, much fruit. And then they run into this unnamed centurion. And I'm sure that Jesus didn't name him on purpose. Don't you want Jesus to be amazed at your faith? Really? I mean, don't you want God, not that God looks at you and says, whoa, look at the lack of faith, but don't you really want Jesus to look at you and say, that's amazing faith. That's, there's only one way to get there. And I asked this question this morning. Do you expect God to do something in your life? I mean, really. Now, I don't need a show of hands this morning, but do you really expect God to do something extraordinary in your life? Not in someone else's. In your life this morning. As a body of believers, do we believe that God wants to do something supernatural in the life of our church? That we come to the point where we just say, you know what? God, you've got to do a miracle here. It's beyond us. It's bigger than us. And, you know, all of us have experienced some kind of a supernatural thing in our lives. If we all took the time to say, we could have people popping up all over the place saying, you know, God did this in my life, and I know there's no other way to explain it but that it's a miracle. And then there's some of us that will say, I'll never forget the time. And we go in and share about how amazing God was at this certain point in our lives. But the longer it goes, the longer it is, the more it ends up to being this watered-down memory rather than something that's fresh and anointed, and you come with a heart of expectation, and you come with God expecting to do some good things. And really, most of us, we come to our work week, we come into the house of God, we come into circumstances of our relationships and our families, and we don't say it right out loud because that wouldn't be spiritual. But really the fact is we come and we say, God, you're doing nothing in my life, and I don't expect you to do anything in my life. And God says, until you change your attitude, be it unto you as you say. You've got to come with this heart of expectation. And I think sometimes God has to grab us and hit us over the head and acknowledge that He wants to do something fresh and new in our lives. You can't keep doing the same old thing, the same old way, and expect a different outcome. It won't work. And I won't share for the 50th time my illustration with the hammer. You get it, I know. You all thought about it. God wants to do amazing things. He wants to do things fresh and new. But really what we've done is we've abandoned the thought that God still does miracles. We've abandoned the thought that God still wants to do in our lives. We've abandoned the thought because we looked at all the circumstances and we said, God, you can't get past that. And God's saying, if you just let me, I'm going to do far more than you can even imagine. And if you let me, you're going to be on the other side of this looking backwards at it instead of it just in your face. God desires If I told you this morning, now some of you may think I'm crazy, and that's okay, because I probably am a little bit. Some of you may think I'm a little bit out of the box, and yes, I am, and that's okay. I'm okay with who I am. But the truth be told this morning, God desires to use, now get this, each one of us to unlock a miracle in someone else's life.
Thank God.
Did you get that? Yes. God wants to use us to unlock a miracle in someone else's life. Now, some of us would think that's ridiculous, and I would pray that some others would say, God, grant that. Allow me to be used. I'm ready for that to happen. We will never be where God wants us to be and where He desires us to be if we're doing things in our own power. Did you get that? You can't be asking God to do a miracle through you or for you in your own power. It's impossible. God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the glory. I'm going to get the credit. And I'm going to use the Holy Spirit in your life to accomplish that. So if you want God to do something far above what you can do, the Holy Spirit has to do it through your life and in His power and in His strength. The Word of God says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, what? In all the world, and do things far above what you can do in your own strength. That's what the Word of God says. So if you're looking where you're going, and if you're wanting God in it, you're first of all asking for the power of God to work in your life to do far more than you can do yourself, and you've got to be a witness. You've got to be one that is out there, in there, in the community, outside of your own box, allowing God to do these tremendous things in there, and telling God, I don't want to do it in my own strength because it's limited. God knows your talents. So you can stand there and give your list of all the talents that you have. God says, I know I gave them to you. But if you want to do something far beyond what God's done and given you, then you've got to do it in the strength of the Lord. The Greek word here, and you've heard me say it before, the Greek word here is dunamis. The English word is dynamite. That's what I desire. Dynamite going on in our lives. It means energy and motion. That's what God desires, that we would be vessels that would be energy of motion. God's power working through us, accomplishing things that we can't do in our own selves. Bruce Wilkinson says this, I love this. He says, your good works for God equals ministry. Your ministry plus God's supernatural power equals a miracle. And that's what we want. That's what we should desire to happen in our lives. And we need to partner with God so that God can do these amazing things through us. Miracles are supernatural. Duh. Miracles are supernatural. So by definition, if God's not in it, it's not going to happen. The Word of God tells us the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. Now back to the centurion. He understood. He understood this. He understood that if God wasn't in it, This friend, this servant of his was going to die. Now, being like most men, I'm sure that he did everything possible that he knew to do in his own strength. Whatever herbs they had at the time, whatever, you know, home remedies that they could dig up, I'm sure this guy exhausted all of those because that's the way we usually do it. We say, God, I want you involved, but first let me try to fix it. God, let me first try grandma's home remedy. Let me first try what happened to the neighbor, and let me see if that works. And then, God, if I run out of all ideas, well, then I'm going to be back. I'll come talk to you again. So I'm sure he's exhausted all of these ideas. And the reason that we don't see miracles today is because we don't come expecting them. God still is in the miracle business. God still desires to do these amazing things. We pray, but we have little faith that God really will do what we ask Him to do. Let me tell you, if you're in the will of wouldn't he allow it to happen? And I'm convinced. I'm convinced that we have one whole generation of people that have settled for less and have taken God out of the equation. We have at least one whole generation, and now they're raising kids that are missing out on what God wants to do because they have come and they bought into the lie that God doesn't do miracles anymore. God doesn't care about what's going on in our life, and God doesn't want to do anything for me. It's always somebody else. We settle for less. And we miss out on that fulfillment and that purpose and that peace that God wants for us. We've turned our backs to God. And then we wonder why we don't see some amazing things. God still desires to show us that He's still strong and that He still wants to be involved in our lives. I believe that with all my heart. So let me just wrap this up and my last 30 minutes of closing. No. What's the key to amazing faith? It's believing that God still does miracles. That's the step. You want to increase your faith? Believe that God still wants to do miracles in people's lives. Better yet, He wants to do it in your life. Better yet, grab on that He's not a respecter of person, that He will do for you what He does for others because He loves us. Because God desires to use each and every one of us. Did you get that? I wasn't trying to point at any one particular person. But God wants to use all of us in a mighty way. God wants to do a miracle in your life and through your life. The centurion's faith was increased not just because he heard about Jesus, but he took Jesus. He allowed Jesus to work in his life. He responded to Jesus. I love this. And maybe this is for you this morning. He didn't understand everything either. We think sometimes that we got to come to God. We got to understand it all. We got to know how He's going to do it. And sometimes God says, you just need to come. You don't need to understand it all. We don't understand it all. You'll plague yourself if you try to figure out all that God's doing, because then you're putting yourself at the level of God. God's saying, my ways are higher than your ways. And you're saying, God, why can't I figure this out? Well, probably because God's ways are higher than your ways. And allowing these things to happen. He didn't have all the answers, but he knew that he needed Jesus. When's the last time that you put yourself in a position to be blessed by God? When's the last time that you put yourself in a position, intentionally, to be in a position to be blessed by God? See, there's one thing that this centurion understood, that was the authority and responsibility. The 100 soldiers under him, he understood how they should operate. They understood the loyalty. He understood that they should intervene. And here's some closing questions for you to think this morning. Do you look for evidence that God is working in your life before you believe? Now hear this. It's not a trick question, but let me read that again. Do you look for evidence that God is working before you believe? Or do you believe and know that God's working? Because there's a difference. There's a big difference there. And the other question is, would Jesus marvel at your faith, or would he marvel at your lack of faith? And this morning, you have a determination of wanting to change that or not. For some of you this morning, God has increased your faith and you're moving forward and you're encouraged and you can say a big hallelujah. God's been doing some amazing things and you put yourself in a position. And I say, keep going. Keep on trucking. Keep moving forward for God. For others, you may be sitting here this morning and you may not say it, but you're sitting here, I'm not willing yet to put myself in a position. I'm still not willing to surrender what I have to the Lord. Whether it be physical, whether it be monetary, whatever. You're just telling God, I'm not willing to step out. But I am telling you this morning, God still wants to do miracles. And God still wants to do some amazing things. And the last question is, do you want Do you want it happening in your life? Do you want it happening in your life? And how bad do you want it? God says, seek and you shall find. He shall ask and the door is going to be open. So that's not a question of whether God wants to do it in our lives, because we know He does. My question to you is, do you really want it to happen? And only you can answer that. You know, I want you to get this now. I'm almost finished. Verse 10 says, then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Isn't that good stuff? Isn't that good stuff? The man, you know, away from the one that needed healing, they returned and that man was well. I love this. Spurgeon gives an example. Spurgeon was a great preacher in England, once staying at this inn, and he walks in. It's in, he actually was traveling. He was in northern Italy, and he walks into this inn, and he looks at the floor, and it was dreadfully dirty. He just looked at it, and it welled up inside of him that he was going to tell them how they must get this cleaned up. And he began to look, and he saw that the floor was made of mud. And God very clearly showed him, it doesn't matter how hard you scrub this, it's still going to be mud. And Spurgeon says that he knew right then and there that it was nothing that he was going to do. It was nothing that he could do to try to fix this corrupt nature that he had. He knew that Jesus Christ had to do it. And my thought here is, how many want God's presence? How many want to see God's protection? How many really want to see God's power active in their lives? How many really wants to see God just grab around you and say, you know what, I'm going to provide for you. And you can be assured of that. How many want to just say that God wants, God, I want you to lead me. I give you permission to lead me, guide me, direct me. And then for some this morning, you're saying, God, I need some rest. I just need some rest. And I just need you to wrap your arms around me. And my question to you is, why wouldn't you want to serve God like that? Why in the world would you not want to serve a God that reaches out to you in every area of your life? Why wouldn't you want to have God do these amazing things in your life? And I realize, and I'm wrapping up again, coming around for the second time, maybe the third time, I'm not sure. Do so many laps, I don't know where I'm at. But why? Why would you sit here this morning and not desire for God to do these things in your life? Why would you want to do it in your own strength? So I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. And I'm going to just ask that the Holy Spirit would minister to you individually. Now get me. God cares what's going on with your life. So be sensitive to what God is saying to you this morning. He'll deal with the church and He'll deal with the leadership and direction of the church. But right now, God wants to deal with your life. How's your faith? If you've been beat up, then allow God to do something amazing. You've been doing things in your own strength and you're just playing out of gas. Allow God to do the work He needs to do in your life. You're here this morning and you really say, you know what, that sounds great and that's all well and good about Jesus, but you've never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. Today's the day. Today's the day that you've got to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then you begin to see the promises of God. You begin to see the I'll give you power to endure. I'll save your soul. I'll give you direction. I'll be your provider. I will give you the rest. But all of these things are in Jesus Christ. And if that's you this morning, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you tonight. Just slip your hand up, and I want to pray with you this morning. You know, what's God saying to you? What's God saying? What do you want Him to do? How do you want Him to work in your life? And are you willing? Are you willing to allow Him to do that? Is there anyone here this morning that says, you know what? Maybe you're just need you to do something amazing in my life. Would you slip your hand? I want to pray for you. I see your hand. Yes. Yes, I see your hand. Anyone else? This is between you and the Lord. So yes, I see your hands. Yep, I see your hands. Father, you serve an amazing God this morning. I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for touching people's lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, for every single one that raised their hand this morning. God, would you do something amazing in their life? Would you meet that need? Whatever it is, wherever they're at, wherever their journey is.